We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in Psalm 91 and read again at verse 14. Psalm 91 from verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. Over the last several months, we have had the wonderful privilege of going through this psalm and learning about the precious things God has promised and laid up for His believing people. No psalm is more cheering and full of comfort than the one we have been considering. Some have said that it's the most beautiful psalm. It is clear and understandable. It is full of comfort and promise of security. And it is very interesting. It is full of metaphors and vivid expressions. In verse 4 we read, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. It makes the clear distinction between the good and the bad, where God delivers His people while the enemies of God's people experience total defeat, like the children of Israel and the Egyptians, where we read at verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And then, as we've considered recently, the very angels are seen employed for the good of God's people. The literary aspect of the psalm is very noteworthy, which is characteristic of the Hebrew, and that is the change in person, going from the third person to the first person to the second person, and that's grammatical, and that's what I mean. It begins with a general statement in verse 1, speaking in the third person, He, speaking of Him, that one, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's a general statement. And now in verse 2, the psalmist applies it to himself. And so he speaks in the first person. He says, I, that's the first person. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. So he takes the general statement of verse 1 and applies it to himself, speaking in the third person in verse 1, and now in verse 2 in the second person. Sorry, the first person. Then he goes on to speak in the second person, and he speaks to himself, and he says, You, surely He shall deliver thee, or you, from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So we have very often the switch of person from the first person to the second person to the third person. And now, as we noticed before in verse 9, he changes not the person so much as the object of his speech, the very one to whom he is speaking. He says, and we noticed this recently, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. In other words, he is saying, Thou, Lord, art my refuge. And he says that in the same breath, he goes back to speaking to himself, and he says, The Most High is thy habitation. So he changes from a person to person, and then to the very person he speaks to, from God, back to himself. This is very poetical. But what we notice in the verses before us, is not just a change in person from he to I to you, not just a change in the one to whom he is speaking, but there is a change of the very speaker. So the psalmist had himself been speaking throughout the psalm, but now, as Matthew Henry says, the psalmist brings in God himself, speaking words of comfort to the saints. So he says, verse 13, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder," he's speaking to himself or speaking to his hearers, "the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." Now verse 14, it is God himself speaking, "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him." The psalmist had been speaking of trusting in the Lord, being protected by the Lord, and now God himself comes in and confirms his love and care to those who trust in him. "Because he hath set his love upon me," that is, because the psalmist who has been speaking in the psalm, "because he hath set his love upon me," that is God, "therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." And with the Lord's help, we would consider these final verses of this psalm and notice, first of all, the character of the believer. The character of the believer. He is one who loves God, who calls upon God. And then in the second place, we would notice the care of the Most High. The care of the Most High. See how God cares for his people. The care of the Most High. Going back to verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So these two points tonight, as we consider verses 14 to 16, the character of the believer and the care of the Most High. "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." The first thing we notice in regard to the character of the believer, and we should all be praying earnestly that we ourselves would be believers, that none of us would be left to unbelief, that all of us would be believing in Jesus. So I hope that everyone tonight will be praying in their souls that God would help them believe in Jesus. The first thing we consider here about the believer is that the believer loves God. Verse 14, "Because he hath set his love upon me." The believer sets his love, her love, upon God. "Because he hath set his love upon me." Do you love God? That's the question for us. The love here is expressed in a very strong way. It expresses the warmest and most powerful attachment. Literally, it is, "For in me he loved." For in me he loved. It seems to be a Hebrew idiom, the way of speaking. We have our own idioms. And the equivalent in the English for the one before us is falling in love. So the Hebrew expression is very strong and is almost equivalent to our expression, "He fell in love." Because he fell in love with me. It indicates that God is the supreme object of the devotion of the believer. So we should ask ourselves, how strong is our love to God? Or do we love Him at all? If we are God's people, if we are believers, we truly love God. And no doubt we will grieve because our love is so weak. Well, we should all pray that we would have this overpowering love to God, for He is supremely worthy of our love. The second thing we notice about the psalmist, considering the character of the believer, is that, as we read at the end of verse 14, I will set him on high because he hath known my name. The believer knows the name of God. And he has, according to the context, he has already experienced God's goodness and seen the evidence of God's perfections. Believers understand what the name of God reveals, and they know something of it. They know what the name of God means, and they know experimentally what the name of God conveys to them. As we read in the book of Psalms, Psalm 9, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." It's as if the psalmist there speaks from experience. I know the name of God. And that, and knowing what the name of God conveys brings me to trust in Him, for I know that thou hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord's people know that from experience. They know His name, and the name of God is what is how God reveals Himself. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. There is the name of God revealed. And this is His name whereby He shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And that clearly reveals the fact that there is forgiveness with God, and that He has made a way whereby sinners may come to Him and be accepted with Him through the righteousness of Christ. As we considered not too long ago, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." The Lord hath laid on Him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all, the prophet says. And the apostle says that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So our sin is laid on Him, and His righteousness is imputed to us. It covers us. That is for those who believe. Those who say, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress." And believers know the name of God, and God reveals Himself by His names. And therefore they trust in Him. The third characteristic of the believer is that they indeed call upon Him. They call Him the Lord our righteousness. This is His name whereby He shall be called. And they call upon Him, as we see in verse 15. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him." That is, according to the context, calling upon God for help. Calling God to our aid. So, by way of examination, let us ask ourselves, are we praying to God? Are we calling upon Him in our trouble? Or are we leaning to our own understanding, leaning upon our university degree, leaning upon our skills, leaning upon our charm, leaning upon our good work ethic? What are we leaning to? When the going gets tough, where are we going? What are we leaning to, trusting in? Are we calling upon God in our trouble? The fourth characteristic of the believer is not so obvious, but in a way it is. And what we identify here is that the believer is poor, suffering, in danger. And we gather that from the context. I will deliver him. He must have been in some kind of difficulty. I will set him on high. He must have been low. He's calling upon God because he needs God. And God says, I will be with him in trouble. So he must have been in trouble. He must have been, as it were, in the miry clay and needed to be lifted from it. What kind of trouble are you in tonight? Family difficulties or cases of conscience, perplexed about duty? Do I go here or there? What should I do? Is this position at work offered to me for my good? Or is it a trap of the evil one that I should avoid? Satan may be harassing you. The world may be scoffing. What kind of trouble are you in? Perhaps it is deep concern for the cause of Christ. As we read in Amos chapter 6 and verse 6, being grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Well, that is the characteristic of the believer. One who loves God, who knows his name, who's calling upon God, and who is poor. So, looking at these marks, can we find ourselves here? And if not, again, let us be praying earnestly that God would work faith in us, and that we would come to Christ, and that we would believe on the one whom God has sent, that we would say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. In the second place, let us consider the care of the Most High. The care of the Most High. Here are wonderful promises brought before us, which some have said point primarily to Christ, as if the promises were directed especially to Him. Well, it is true that Christ and His people enjoy union and communion with one another. And it is also true that Christ Himself most perfectly trusted in God. The promises are for those who trust in the Lord. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Sometimes it seems that some people, all they do is pick up the Bible and read a promise and say, there you are, that's for me. Are they really trusting in the Lord? Are they truly looking to Jesus for salvation? Many people like to read Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, and so on. But are we looking to Christ as our shepherd? So, the Savior Himself most fully and perfectly trusted in God. And therefore, the promises were most fully experienced by Him. But if we are enabled to entirely entrust our souls to God, if we trust in Him completely with all our heart, then we will receive the full benefit of the promises as well. Christ trusted in God when He was here in this world. And this psalm most fully applies to Him. But everything here before us, the promises of God, are to motivate us to trust in Him more than ever before. So if we are trusting in the Lord, we are believing in Him, all of this applies to us. So what are these precious promises? Let us think about the care of the Most High. And the first thing that we notice is that God will deliver those who trust in Him. Those who love Him, He will deliver. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. If you love the Lord delights in you, and he will deliver those in whom he delights. How does he deliver? Well, in various ways, he proportions the degree and duration of our troubles to our strength. And as we have in the book of Genesis, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So according to the continuance and the duration of our trouble, God will uphold us. As long as we need that special help, he will help us. And according to our weakness, he will supply that weakness with his strength. He will sanctify afflictions to us, give us to benefit from the difficulty, coming out, having learned something for our good to help us in the future. And he will support us, he will deliver us. We are to pray, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. And as the Shorter Catechism explains that petition, we're praying that God would either keep us from being tempted to sin at all, we would not be exposed to temptation, or support and deliver us when we are tempted. So he will deliver his people. He will deliver those who trust in him. He will deliver them from the snare of the fowler, from succumbing to Satan's temptations. He will deliver them from being sucked into the world's ways. He will deliver them from dominion of sin, the power of the old man that's struggling and conflicting with the principle of evil in the soul. God will deliver his people. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. He will support them in their darkest moments from sinking in despair. He will do more than that. He will give them the victory. I will deliver him. And the second way in which God's care is manifest is found in verse 14. I will set him on high. God will set his people on high, so high that they are out of the reach of danger. Imagine you're in a swamp and there are crocodiles all around you. And what you're looking for is some branch that's just within reach, and you grab the branch, and then you're swung onto a rock, and now you're established, and you're high above those crocodiles. You're out of reach of danger. I will set him on high. Yes, set upon the rock of salvation. As David says in Psalm 40, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. So God sets his people on high, beyond the reach of danger. And he will do it for his own namesake. Yes, it is true that God's people love the Lord. They know his name. They are trusting in him. But we should never imagine that this trust, or this knowledge, or this earnest prayer can merit deliverance. None of us earn salvation. None of us can ever deserve God's help. He says, I will deliver him, I will set him on high. Why? Because he hath known my name. And the Lord delivers his people for his name's sake. After all, they are not trusting in themselves, they are trusting in the name of the Lord. trusting in the name of God, who is long-suffering, who is almighty, the Most High, all-powerful, able to deliver them and set them on high. He will do it even for His own name's sake. He restoreth my soul. He maketh me to walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Because of His great name, because He will be glorified, He will be true to His word, true to His promises. And if He did not deliver His people when they call upon Him and trust in His name, then it's an aspersion upon Himself. It's a reflection upon Himself. And He will not dishonor Himself. He will glorify Himself. He will do it for His name's sake. And then we read that God will answer them. That's the third point of this care of the Most High. He shall call upon me, verse 15, and I will answer him. Yes, God will grant their request. We read in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 34 that even before they call, God will answer them. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Yes, God knows what we need even before we ask Him. And He will answer His people by timely relief, just in the nick of time, so to speak, when it seems all was lost and the enemies were enclosing upon God's people. He will lift them out of many waters, rescue them, and set them on high. He will answer them. It may not always be the way they thought it would be. It might even be by terrible things in righteousness. He may answer us not by cutting us off from the trouble, but by giving us strength in the trouble. As Paul prayed three times that God would remove the thorn out of the flesh, but instead of doing that, the Lord Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So God will answer His people, showing His care for them. And then the fourth point in which this care is displayed is that He will be present with them in the trouble, which we just hinted at. Verse 15, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble." And the idea, it seems to be, is that God is already present with His people for the protection that they need. As you notice, the words "will be" are in italics. "I with him in trouble." Literally, it is "with him, I in trouble." And we supply the word "am" with him. "I am in trouble. I am with them." And that's what David says in Psalm 23. "Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Here is present help. Here is God is present with his people even at this moment. The Lord Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The fifth point in which God displays his care is that he honors his people. Not only does he deliver them, not only does he give safety to them, but he joins honor with the deliverance. "I will deliver him and honor him." And God does extricate his people from dangers and sticky situations, cases of conscience. It is not only that, but he gives them honor. He will procure for believers the respect of others by showing that he himself favors them. Like Joseph, who was taken out of the prison in Egypt and made second in command. And Daniel also exalted. Not only was he delivered from the lions, that he was exalted in view of the princes and before King Darius. What precious promises, ways in which God's care is expressed, the care of the Most High. We notice two more, and that is, God says that with long life will I satisfy him. So he will satisfy his believing people with long life, literally length of days. Sometimes the translators, many times, had to make a decision whether they're going to translate it literally or figuratively. Well, literally it is, as it is in other places, and translated into the English with these words, length of days. And here it is with long life. So the length of days, of course, means long life. But God will satisfy his people with long life. You say, how can that be? Some of God's people have died when they're in their youth. Well, they will be satisfied. That's the emphasis, perhaps. And it's a strong word. It means to satiate or to abundantly supply and fully gratify his largest wishes in the way that he himself pleases. And there was Hezekiah when he became sick. Well, surely he wanted to do more work for the Lord. And God added to his days 15 more years. With long life, he satisfies Hezekiah. But whatever the length of life, believers will be satisfied. Here's the promise. Why? Because then, at the point in which they come to die, their work is finished. Whatever the length of days, they will be satisfied because their work is done. It will be the equivalent of a long life. They will be full of days. Even though Robert Murray McShane may die before the age of 30, yet he accomplished all the work God had for him to do. And therefore his life was just as complete as if he had lived another 30 years. So knowing that all will be done that the Lord will have intended for us to do, there will doubtless be contentment and satisfaction. After all, the Lord's time is the best time. And what a place to be. How many there are when going through their last moments, when they're in a prosperous way, they're not ready to die when the Lord calls them. And others, when they're going through severe heartache, deep trouble, they want to die sooner than God's time. But the best place to be is when God gives us satisfaction, when our work is over and he calls us home with a long life, a complete life. He satisfies us. With long life will I satisfy him. Matthew Henry says, God will wean his people from the world and make them willing to leave it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the seventh way in which God's care is expressed in these verses is that he shows his people his salvation. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Do you want to see God's salvation? It begins by faith in Christ. I will show him my salvation. And the word show means to behold with strong emotion and emotion of a pleasurable kind, delighting, witnessing God's salvation. And indeed, as soon as a person believes in Christ, that person is saved. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He has, she has eternal life. Immediately, they experience God's salvation. But even after that moment, as they go on in their experience, they are still being saved. They are still being forgiven, still being delivered from temptation, still being purified from indwelling sin, still being upheld and kept from falling into sin and danger. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And when you think about God giving a greater experience of His presence, more assurance of His love, is that not God showing the believer His salvation? When, like Simeon, we are ready to say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And when the believer comes to die, God is showing him his salvation. He is kept from despair. God is saving him. He does not experience the sting of death. God is showing him his salvation. When the soul of the believer is carried on the wings of angels, God is showing him his salvation. When the believer sees Christ face to face, he is seeing, she is seeing God's salvation. In the company of angels, in the fellowship of God's people, the believer is seeing, experiencing the full and perfect enjoyment of God's salvation. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The believer then in glory will feast upon eternal delights, contemplating God's truth, basking in the sunshine of God's love, joining with God's people in praising the Lamb forever and ever. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Yes, God says, I will show him my salvation. Are we believing in Christ? Are we seeking refuge in the Lord? Are we seeking to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Do we rejoice in the Lord? Is our love set upon Him? The Apostle Peter says, Whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So, friends, call upon the Lord. Trust in Him, obey Him, take His yoke, seek His glory, repent and believe the gospel. Come to Him for all that you need. Come to Him for grace. Come to Him for the Holy Spirit. Come to Him for a complete salvation from beginning to end, grace to enable you to believe. Come to Him and you will find the expression of His love and His care over you and for you. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. May He bless His word. Let us pray.